Even though long-distance phone calls have been around since the invention of the telephone itself, only recently have they become affordable. With cell phones, local and long distance are basically the same thing. Now, many would argue that these technological advances have helped bring those farthest from us closer to us. But others would say that's not the case. The technology has actually driven those closest to us farther from us. And that brings us to the subject of relationships, which we'll be discussing today. What do real friendships and real relationships look like in today's digital age? Do our kids know how to properly relate to their friends, to their God, or to us, their parents? And perhaps even more importantly, do we know how to relate to them? We'll find out just ahead on License to Parent. Hello and welcome to License to Parent. I'm Rich Rosel, and we'd love for you to call, text, or tweet your next of kin and get them to come in from the next room and join you today for our discussion as we're joined by a guy who certainly can articulate the importance of relationships between parents and their kids. That guy is Josh McDowell.
Oh, I can't argue with that, Rich. Josh is an icon when it comes to parent-child relationships, no doubt.
Well, Josh has been involved with teens and with parents for quite some time. Many of our listeners may know him as the agnostic-turned-Christian who's written a bunch of powerful and compelling books that frankly make other apologists apologize. Please pardon that pun. But he and his ministry have grown far beyond that. Josh has co-authored or written by himself 138 books, included among those More Than a Carpenter, 15 million copies in 85 languages now, and New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. That was named one of the 20th century's top 40 books and one of the 13 most influential books of the last 50 years on Christian thought by World Magazine. Josh and his wife Dottie have been married over 40 years. They have 4 children and 8 grandchildren, and I'm not sure, Trace, but I don't think it's going to last.
Well, Josh, it's an honor to have you on with us today. Thanks for coming on the License to Parent broadcast.
Oh, this makes my year, guys.
Well, Josh, I think it was a year or two ago. I don't exactly remember. The time keeps flying the older I get. You stood in front of about 7,000 mental health professionals in the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. And the first thing that came out of your mouth was this: the day of the sleepover is over. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell our listeners exactly what you were talking about there?
Yes. The day of the sleepover, I believe, is over. Mm-hmm. Not only am I saying that, Jim Dobson is saying it, Jim Daly is saying it, everyone. Why? The reason is because the incredible, pervasive pornography on the Internet. Mm-hmm. And what technology is providing for young people. And you can't control it when you get a number of group of kids together. For example, 3 staff kids, a crew, 3 different couples, their child was 8 years old, each one of them, and a pastor's daughter and a deacon's daughter, 9 years old. And there were 6 of them. And they did a sleepover. This was just not many months ago. Mm-hmm. And the 12-year-old son came down the steps, and mother said, "How are the girls doing? Having fun?" She said, "Yes, they're photographing private parts of each other."
Oh, boy.
She about died, a crew staff member, Campus Crusade. Mm-hmm. She went up there, and here were these girls with their panties off, their legs spread apart, taking one girl had brought her cell phone. Mm-hmm. And they were taking pictures of each other's private parts and emailing them to boys. And these were all Christian leaders, everything, their kids. And this is not a rare situation.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to bring up. I think there are a lot of Christian parents who believe that because their child may be a Bible quiz winner, that they couldn't possibly be involved in something like this. But kids are so, they compartmentalize their faith so much and their lives so much that a Bible quiz winner could be raising their hands on Sunday morning in worship and fornicating in the parking lot Sunday night. Where am I going wrong here?
You're not. See, kids, no matter how we raise them, they face tremendous peer pressure now with technology, the Internet, with pornography and all, with texting, sexual messages.
Right.
That no matter what kind of relationship we have with them, they are vulnerable. And this is why I tell the parents, yeah, I believe the average age of seeing pornography is 4 to 6 years old for Christian kids.
And people don't believe that. You're exactly right, but people do not believe that.
Well, it's hard for me to believe it. Yep. Now, statistically, it's 8 years old. Mm-hmm. But here's what I say to parents. You cannot keep your children from seeing pornography. You better wake up, mom and dad.
Thank you.
They will see pornography. I don't care if you homeschool and never let them out of the house.
They will
see pornography.
I hope you're listening.
We need to prepare them for the first time they do see pornography.
And how do we do that, Josh?
Well, one, you've got to develop such a relationship with that child.
Yes.
That they feel totally comfortable in coming to you with anything without shame, without judgment, without being laughed at or put down.
Right.
If the child does not feel that, then when they see pornography, something else like that, they're not going to come to you, no matter what kind of relationship you have with them, you think.
That's right.
Second, you must start out, I always say, by the time they're born, building, according to the age level, a concept of sexuality.
I agree.
Who created it, what it is, a concept that is something so beautiful. There's not one verse in the Bible that says sex is sin, and yet most people think it is.
Right.
Every verse in the Bible that refers to sex being wrong, it's dealing with the misuse of sex, not sex the way God created it.
Right.
So we got to build that relationship, and then we have to build into them a concept, starting at birth, I believe, of their sexuality, their body, how beautiful it is. God created it. Sex is something wonderful that God has given us. That might be at 4, 5, 6 years old. So that when they see something, they'll know it's not correct, and they'll feel comfortable to go right to mom or dad and not be judged or whatever.
Yeah, as a policeman, we were trained to detect counterfeit money by knowing what the real thing actually looked like. How would you respond to those who would say that virtually every teen is troubled today? It's just a matter of degree.
I would say no. I don't think every teen is, because you have to understand there are certain pressures that every teenager goes through, mm-hmm. which is normal. It's normal for a child not to rebellion in the negative sense, but if we don't raise our children to stand on their own 2 feet, to be able to reason and rationalize and be logic and make moral choices, then we have failed our child. And every child is born to become independent. And that's not all, quote, sinful, self-centered. God wants us in a personal relationship with him. And so I think you're always going to have, every child will go through a bit of what parents would call a little bit of rebellion.
Sure. Well, I was making that statement considering the fact that kids are seeing pornography at 4 to 8 years old, and to the degree that they're being exposed to things that they were never designed to be exposed to. Adults weren't even designed to be exposed to that kind of stuff. That to that degree, that they would claim that they have to be a little bit troubled to be experiencing that stuff
at such a young age.
I
think when that child becomes troubled is when mom and dad don't deal with it.
You're right.
But if that mom and dad is there, all four of my kids saw pornography. And this was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say within minutes, they came right to me. My son came right when I was speaking. He said, Dad, look what came up on my computer. And right there, we dealt with it.
Yeah.
And so it didn't become troubling for it, as you would think of the word troubling.
Sure.
So it depends on mom and dad's relationship with them and security of the relationship to talk about anything.
Sure. No, I agree with that.
Josh, could we put you on the spot for a moment? How did you deal with that issue when your son came to you?
Well, first of all, I said, son, you know why it is wrong? Yeah, Dad. Because we talked about certified it. And I didn't want him to think that I was looking at that and saying, oh, sex is sinful. No, the misuse of sex is sinful.
Right.
So I started off by asking my son, son, why do you believe it's wrong? As he told me. Well, son, how can it affect you? And I shared how it can affect your memory, your brain, your emotions, your outlook. And I said, now, son, how do we erase it? How do we control this? We couldn't. We had to take it to an Apple store because every time we'd go to another, we would try to go out of the site, it would take it another site, another site, another site, another site. So We closed it down, took it to an Apple store, and they helped us get out of it. But, see, I didn't judge my son. I didn't say, oh, you shouldn't be watching that. That's awful. That's horrible. No. I praised him for it. I just kept saying, son, thank you so much for coming to me. That's so wonderful.
Right.
Instead of judging him.
Right. Good.
We know parents should be helping to shape the worldview of their kids, but the other parent, and I'm talking about, you know, the culture through digital devices, the other parent seems to have a distinct advantage by virtue of being in the hip pocket of so many kids today, and 24/7. How can parents better compete for the worldview market share, so to speak, of their own kids today?
Oh, that's quite easy. First, you got to build an incredible relationship with them, where they feel secure and loved. Here's the phrase. Truth without relationships leads to rejection. Rules without relationships leads to rebellion. Discipline without relationships leads to anger, resentment, bitterness, and hurt. And so from the time they're born, you start building this relationship with them. That's what I do with my 7A's presentation. How do you build that relationship? And then you want to always be discussing things with your kids. For the most part, my kids would ask me a question, I wouldn't get an answer. I would interact with them where they came up with the answer. When we set standards and rules and everything, except in a rare situation, I negotiated them with my children. Now, some people, Christians, think that's horrible, but it's horrible not to negotiate. Why? My son would come in and say, Dad, there's this or this going on at school Saturday night. I'll say, well, son, what time is it over? Well, 11:30. Well, son, I think you ought to be in by 10 o'clock. But, Dad, and I said, what do you think, son? Well, Dad, I think 11 o'clock. Why do you say that, son? Well, this is why I say 10 o'clock. And almost always, my kids would either agree with me or would negotiate in between. But what it did, it taught my children how to weigh decisions, how to make moral choices, where when I finished, it was their standard, not just Dad's standard. And so I would go over all kinds of issues with them on truth. They come ask a question about the Bible, and I say, well, why do you think that's true? An illustration. Now, I get criticized for this. Years ago, I took three of my children to see two of my children, the two oldest, Kelly and Sean. They were probably 14 and 16, and my son's girlfriend got permission from her parents and took him to see Schindler's List. People say that's awful, all the killing in there and everything, and the sex scene. I said, I know some parents think that awful. I watched it with my children. Then we went to a steakhouse, Mr. Steak or Sizzler. It was a Sizzler in Ramona, California. And we sat there for 3.5 hours and discussed what they saw. Mm-hmm. And I started out by saying, kids, you think the killing of 6 million Jewish people is wrong? Yes. Why? None of them could tell me. 3.5 hours later, they were profound in telling me why it was wrong. Remember the scene of sex where the man took advantage of that young girl and all things? Yeah. Was that wrong? Well, yeah. Why was it wrong? Well, because God says not to. Well, why does God say not to? My son went on to get his master's. Now he's doing his doctorate, but he got his master's in philosophy and ethics. After several months, he called home and he said, Dad, I am so much further ahead than other students on my personal morality and ethics. I said, why is that? He said, Dad, it's because the way you raised me. Mm-hmm. I knew what he was saying. I said, what do you mean? He said, Dad, my morality and my ethics started sitting that night in the Caesar Steakhouse in Ramona after seeing Schindler's List.
Well, I think you've got a pretty good handle, Josh, on the difference between, I mean, the Bible's a sex book. The Bible's of a book where there's tons of violence. It's not gratuitous sex. It's not gratuitous violence. And there's a big difference between a Schindler's List or a Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Porky's or something like that. There's a big difference in those kind of movies. Here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, I can tell you that there are three R-rated movies our kids are probably going to see. And I let the parents know. And one is Saving Private Ryan. The other one is Glory. about the Civil War, and the other one is the Passion of the Christ. Now, there's no sex in those particular movies. There are some violence and some curse words, but it's history. It's not gratuitous violence, and there's a ton to learn from that. But I totally agree with you about letting your kids in on these things early, talking about these things early. I did that with all my kids, and it worked out very well.
Well, one other thing to mention, Josh, that I heard you saying is when these negotiations, if you will, with your kids would start up, you weren't saying, well, my way, your way, they're equally valid and whatnot, you know, we'll vote on it. But you are engaging your son in a discussion to help teach discernment and to teach being able to give rational thought to why I do things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's teaching. I mean, ultimately, as the parent, you still have to approve how late he stays out at the dance or how this much goes on. I think I'm hearing you right, though. But you are engaging him in the thought process so that he could take ownership of it.
That's right. And I can honestly say with my three daughters and my son, and all the times we negotiated, never came to a conclusion that I was not totally comfortable with, that it was the right thing. And my kids came to the same conclusion.
Sure.
But I got to tell you this, sometimes my kids convince me to change some things.
Yeah.
Because they have some good arguments, some good reasons why I was wrong and they were right.
Yeah.
And when I yield to that, wow, does that help build a relationship.
No, you're...
I admire for what you do there at the academy.
Because oh, thank you.
Even taking the swear words, say, now, you know, this word was used there. Would you use that word? Why? Why do you think it's not appropriate to use that word? What does that word mean? What is your values in life? Mm-hmm. And I would think, it's like I was roller skating my kids in Venice, California, and here were all this effort and the finger and everything else on the graffiti. Mm-hmm. So I went and said, kids, let's go get a Coke. Got a Coke back. We sat down in front of that mural with all the F words, everything else. I said, now, kids, I want to share some things with you. Start over here with the F. And I spelled the word out and said it. Now, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that's right, appropriate? No. And I went right down through the finger, everything else. And my kids walked away with a tremendous personal morality.
Sure.
Because I used that to teach them.
But you were there with them to use those things
as
a teachable moment, a positive thing. When there are too many parents who allow their kids to indulge and engage in those things without their supervision and without any even intent to use those things as a teachable moment. So, you know, I commend you for that. But, you know, you've already mentioned this, but you are the guy who so insightfully coined the phrase, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And I think Solomon would probably consider that another great proverb, by the way. But is there ever a time when rules should actually trump relationships? In other words, is there an argument to be made that if a child, say, or a teenager, is determined to be a profligate, that perhaps mom or dad may have to forego the ideal relationship with Junior for a season to enforce some stringent rules that might keep him from hurting himself or someone else?
No, it's the other way around.
Okay.
It's the other way around. You see, it's not rules. It's not relationships. It's rules in the context of a loving relationship. So no matter what the situation is with your child, have you done everything to build that intimate relationship with them? And so if you try to deal with problems without that, you're going to develop more problems. I had a pastor come to me with a 12-year-old son, I think he was, just totally rebellious. And his dad had laid down the laws, the rules, everything. He said, Josh, I don't know what to do. I said, why don't you suspend the rules and just focus, and I'll help you, just focus on the relationship. He said, oh, I couldn't do that. I said, look, are the rules working right now? He said, no. Then I said, what in the world do you have to lose? You have everything to gain. And it really worked out for him.
Well, I guess my point is that it's not an either-or, but a both-and. That's what I'm going for.
That's right. But if it came to either-or, I would say the relationship, not the rules. Because your rules aren't working anyway. So it doesn't matter what you do with the rules. They're still going out, not coming in at midnight, still getting drunk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I guess that's where they send them to Shepherd's Hill Academy.
At Shepherd's Academy, I can guarantee you guys are building relationships with those kids.
We need to break right here. We need to take a break real quick. We will come back with more of this because we've now jumped into an interesting dynamic that needs to be explored, and that is finding the right balance between the relationship and the rules once those rules are able to be restored to some extent. Our guest is Josh McDowell. Our host is Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosl, and the program is Licensed to Parent. We'll be back with more right after this.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedtoparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedtoparent.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, and our special guest today, Josh McDowell, author of the book More Than a Carpenter, New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and about 136 other books, which we don't have time to list right now. Josh, right before the break, we were talking about the fact that if the rules aren't working, and we see this quite often with kids coming here, sometimes it's best to say, okay, we're going to throw out the rules for now, and instead, as parents, build that relationship first. But what about the kid who has been acting out, who's been ignoring all the rules? How do you weigh in applying consequences there so that perhaps these acting out issues stop? Or do consequences not even play in yet? I guess take us farther down this path of how to get
huge. First, the consequence needs to equal the offense. I am prone to go way overboard, and Daddy has to say to me in another room, honey, I think the penalty was far too great for what Katie did or Heather did. I think you need to back off some. And she was almost always right. Because if children don't think you're fair, then it becomes a greater barrier what you're doing. Sure. Second, you can't apply the same consequences to each child because children are different.
No, that's absolutely right.
I mean, here's an illustration. My oldest daughter, Kelly, and my son, Sean, who's number two. Sean is the type of guy who's really built into friendships, needs his friends to survive. Kelly can totally run the world in a balloon, in a vacuum. And so if I said to Kelly, because of what you just did, you need to go stand in the corner for 30 minutes. It would mean nothing to her. She would develop her own world right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With Sean, if I did it with Sean, he'd fall apart.
Right.
So I've got to find what consequence speaks to each child. This is what it means to bring up a child in the way you should go and never depart from it. You find out who that child is, their personality and all, and then you find out how they respond to rules, what are the consequences for that child? And that makes it harder to parent but it sure makes it more effective.
Well, Josh, of all the books you've written, what one book would you give to parents right now, if you could give away your book, that would be the most informative about how to develop a strong relationship with your child, especially when there's been a severed relationship? Like, you know, every one of the kids that come to Shepherd's Hill Academy, most of them come kicking and scratching. I mean, a lot of them come willingly, but a lot of them come kicking and scratching. And at graduation, it's one big boo-hoo session. I love you. Thanks for bringing me here, the whole nine yards. You know, what would you tell parents is your best read to keep a kid?
Go to my website, josh.org, and get How to Be a Hero to Your Child.
How to Be a Hero to Your Child.
How do you build that? And then, guys, I'd be glad to do this. You can edit this out if you want. I have about 7 pages of point by point with incredible illustrations and stories, everything. How can a parent start to build that relationship with that child? And I'd be glad to forward it to you right away, and you can send it to anyone you want.
Well, I appreciate that.
The website, whatever.
Well, Trace and Josh, our time has run out, unfortunately. And Josh, we hope that we can invite you back on for another time at another point. But our guest today has been Josh McDowell. Josh, from 1961 on, has headed up Josh McDowell Ministries to reach young people worldwide with the truth and the love. And I'm sure you heard that in our conversation today, the love for Jesus Christ, and has been working hard for quite a number of years to get parents and teens to really rebuild and develop a strong relationship with one another before God. Josh is the author of 138 books, including More Than a Carpenter, New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and the book that we just heard about a moment ago, How to Be a Hero to Your Child. And with his permission, we will actually be posting a part of that on the Licensed to Parent website. You can find out more about Josh at josh.org. And Josh, thanks so much for making Licensed to Parent today a part of your day.
Oh, thank you for the privilege, guys. Those kids are so fortunate to have you all around.
Well, we do thank you.
Well, once again, we will have an excerpt from Josh's book, How to Be a Hero to Your Child, on our website at licensedtoparent.org. Again, licensedtoparent.org. And while you're there, we invite you to check out some of the other resources, including the DVD Captivated, which we talked about on a previous program, that talks about the challenges that parents in particular face with raising kids in what seems to be an all-digital culture. And you can find out more about that when you visit our website, licensedtoparent.org. Also, while you're there, look in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, and there you will find a donate button. We would so appreciate your becoming a financial partner with this ministry. Again, the work that we do at Shepherd's Hill Academy, it's a year-long program helping teens in crisis. That work could not continue were it not for your help. Likewise, the Licensed to Parent broadcast is a radio outreach to help parents of teens to keep them from becoming teens in crisis. Your tax-deductible donations can be given securely online at licensedtoparent.org. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rozzle. Thanks so much for joining us on today's program, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time when we renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.